to India now, where the trial of five men charged with the gang rape and murder of a 23-year-old student on a New Delhi bus is underway. The closed court has been hearing opening arguments by prosecution lawyers. It's a special fast-track court set up just weeks ago to handle sexual assault cases in the wake of this extraordinary publicity and the national outpouring following this gang rape. But this trial barely resembles the prevailing pace of justice in India. A United Nations study reports that India has just 14 judges per million people, making it the fourth lowest in the world. India has just 1.5 million police officers to protect 1.2 billion people. That's the second lowest ratio among 50 countries ranked by the United Nations. Arvind Verma is professor of criminal justice at Indiana University, an expert on the Indian police, and a consultant to the government. Arvind Verma, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So it seemed this is a very difficult set of statistics to evaluate. On the one hand, you might think that fewer police means, well, this is a very peaceful society here. If we exclude crimes against women for just a moment, is it the case in India that there's something of a continual crime wave going on because the police are just completely overmatched to the population?
Yes, the crime trends varies and there are ups and downs. But I would not really stress the official figures too much. I believe they are largely misleading. Crimes are not recorded properly. There's sufficient evidence to say that a large number of crimes are minimized or the police officers simply refuse to register them. So therefore, playing around with these numbers, I think, is not an accurate depiction of what's going on there.
Put me in the perspective of a police officer in India. Why would you diminish the significance of crimes, encourage people not to report them, not take crime seriously? In the wake of the gang rape, lots and lots of women were reporting that their rape was taken to the police and that the police took it seriously not at all, and that this is echoed in other kinds of crimes as well in India.
This is not peculiar to India. I think everywhere the police continue to play around with numbers because in media and official evaluation, it's these crime statistics that are played around to evaluate the performance of the police. We just have inquiries going on in NYPD where, again, there's evidence that this CompStat did not really lead to that kind of a decline and there were manipulations going on. In India, this is, I think, a little bit more serious.
It's a lot more serious.
It's a lot more serious. I think one reason is that it's an outdated system of registration. Crimes are registered under Section 154 Criminal Procedure Code, which was designed for people to go to the police station and then file their complaint. And police officers exercise a great deal of discretion, and they are not properly supervised. They're not accountable to the local people. So because of all these reasons, police officers simply either indulge in abusive practices or corruption to register these cases or just try to manage them in order to display that they are doing a good job.
So you need to pay officers in India to get them to pay attention to the complaint that you want to bring?
Many times, yes.
Now, what is it about this system that makes women particularly vulnerable?
Well, India is a fairly patriarchal society, and traditionally women have been confined and they have been abused, and the system has been pretty unjust to them. Since the last 20 years, with the opening up of the economy and economic development, women have started working outside, and they've been finding jobs in many new places. And this, I think, has led to a rising trend in crimes against them,
although,
which have started being reported. Yeah.
One of the things I don't understand is that India has experienced extraordinary change over the last 20 years. One place where it has experienced almost no change is reform of the judiciary and increased modernized practices for law enforcement. That includes crimes against women and everyone else. Why is that the case?
Yes, I think the criminal justice system such has just remained in a time warp. In fact, last year, the Indian police celebrated 150 years of the establishment, which implies that the present Indian police are guided by what we call the 1861 Police Act, which was designed by the British.
Charles and Dickens could have written it.
Yes. And it was obviously designed for a very different objective by the British, is to enable their Raj and rule over India. This is clearly incompatible with a modern democracy. But the problem is that it has not been reformed, largely because being a ruler-oriented system, the present set of rulers find it convenient to keep the system as is. And
well, the status quo rules in the United States and in India, but with very dire consequences. And so we'll just have to see if this fast-track trial in New Delhi is actually a precedent or a model for reform in the future. Arvind Verma, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
Arvind Verma is a professor of criminal justice at Indiana University in Bloomington, an expert on the Indian police and a consultant to the government. Throughout today's program, we're looking at the Pentagon's decision announced yesterday to lift its ban on women in combat. We want to know, how do you see this changing the culture of the military? From San Antonio, a listener writes, the women in these positions are not shrinking violets. From a distance, it would be difficult to distinguish between the genders, especially if the entrance performance standards aren't watered down to juice the ratios. San Antonio, a lot of military in San Antonio. They know of what they speak. Do you see women in combat as a good thing? Do you see women in combat changing the culture of the military? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE to weigh in on this conversation or anything else you hear. Coming up, more on women in combat around the world and throughout history. That's later this hour on The Takeaway. Stay with us.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia, and the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable development in communities across the country. More at rockfound.org.